Blog Talk Radio.
College education for underprivileged children.
All right, Brother Daniel's on the line now. He's going to conduct this interview. So go right ahead. You two, I'm going to kick back and relax. I'm going to enjoy this interview.
All right.
They call him Mr. Dynamite. The music world anointed him the soul brother number one. They labeled him the hardest working man in the show business. He is credited to have invented what we call funk music. And some of his songs are some of the most sampled tunes in rap and hip-hop music. But in his later years, he reigned as the godfather of soul. So today we got an interview in America. I want you to listen to these words this man has to say today. America, the next voice you hear will be of Mr. Kevin Jones, the brother of the late, great James Brown. All right, let's go. Good morning, Mr. Jones. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. I'm happy to be on your show. There's a lot of things about my brother James that America never really knew, you know, because it was a family thing that was kept secret. But we respect what he became. He became Mr. Dynamite, Godfather of Soul, Soul Brother number one. He led the way in the civil rights movements. If it wasn't for my brother James, America would have burned down when Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated. So now it's time, you know, for him to get his federal justice on what South Carolina's justice system had done to him, violating federal laws and his civil rights, and depriving him 12 years of his college education for underprivileged children, stealing more than $30 million from his college education for underprivileged children, allegedly claiming legal fees. But the problem they done was they didn't give him his right to due process, and they refused to probate his estate. This is one of my reasons why.
Now, Mr. Jones, can you kind of go in a lot of loose detail about what you're talking about now? Basically, what we're saying, we're saying that James Brown has been denied his federal rights his family
right.
or his family members that's involved.
Right. His
mm-hmm.
family members. His family members contested the father's will because they were not happy because he already summoned him to his home and explained to him, what you see in this house is yours. I'm leaving the household items, the cars and jewelry, and I will not leave you on no money because you're not going to ride my back.
Mm.
That's what he told the children. So they went.
So in detail, you're saying that James Brown disinherited a lot of people.
Right. Well, he left his children. He didn't disinherit means you get nothing, but he left them the household items, cars, and jewelry. So they weren't happy, so they attacked, and they contested his will using the help of Al Sharpton. Al Sharpton is very much involved in this, and he just basically put a dagger in my brother James' back as soon as he got in his coffin. For a man to claim that James was a father figure and his mentor, why would you do that to him? So there's a lot of things about Al Sharpton I won't get into on radio, but he's not a man of God. I call him a man of Satan.
Mm.
And and so his day is coming. You know, but he'll have to face federal laws, civil rights violations as well. It's like this, brother. It's like three people in the bank robbing the bank, and you got somebody outside. But the three people in the bank, they get caught. So the person outside is just as guilty than the people inside. So Al Sharpton, he's very much aware I'm coming after him. But the idea is my brother James left all his money to help college for underprivileged children, and they denied him, deprived him. Again, they refused to probate the state. And one thing they did is they violated the Constitution of the United States under the 14th Amendment. They didn't give us due process. So I just don't get that. So, but this is one of the reasons why the truth had came out about my brother James, the fight to save his legacy. This is what it's all about. It was never about the money, because James already stated in his will. Anybody coming to be claiming to be heirs of mine, I have left you out, not by accidentally, but intentionally. I mean, so basically, he's saying, well, I left you out. I'm not mad. That's his money. I mean, he made it. I didn't make it. But he had the right to choose to do what he wanted with his money, and nobody can take that away. And what James' mm-hmm. children did at Al Sharpton in the South Carolina justice system done to my brother James, it goes against what Martin Luther King Jr. stood for. Remember, Martin Luther King just he stood for civil rights, equal rights for blacks in the South. And this mm-hmm. is what he laid his life down. So now I have to pick up and fight for my brother James to get everything restored, which is going to happen, you know. And the sad part about it, the federal justice system under President Barack Hussein Obama, they failed to protect my brother James. So I hate to say this, but it's true. They're all corrupt. I got to agree with Donald Trump. They're all corrupt. I had a black chief judge named Margaret B. Seymour had given them immunity. But to come to find out, she was a corrupt judge and she was involved in many other things with the Attorney General, who's now Governor Henry McMaster. So she was quietly deleted. So now I depend on President Donald Trump to bring my brother James with federal justice and bring all parties to face federal justice and prosecution.
Man. Okay, now
so,
let's go in a little bit more. Let's go a little bit more, information about Mr. Dynamite. You know, like James Brown was one of the influences in my life. You know, when I first started off playing music, I remember when I was a little boy, you know, I used to go to his concerts, man, and he had 99 cents for people to come in, man. I never knew anybody wanted to charge 99 cents just to get in a concert to see somebody. But right now, man, you almost play close to $100, man, to see somebody.
$100. You're right, $100.
Yeah, you know, Ray Charles got, man, he was going on a farewell tour, man. He was charging $150, man, you know. So, he was just, like I said in the bill billing, you know, he was an innovator. He was more like the hardest working man. Yeah, I know you don't too much like to talk about this, Mr. Jones. You know me on about this movie, so we're not gonna go into detail with this because I know it kind of upset you. So,
it doesn't upset me. I just laugh at it because the movie is bogus. That's all. It's a bogus movie. Mm-hmm. Thrown together to make money, which it flopped at the box office. Even the soundtrack flopped. The soundtrack
was. When you say some like I saw some parts in the movie where you say like he was a. Now, like everybody, I know I'm a perfectionist. I like to practice. And they said James Brown was fining his band members for every little thing they did. And sometimes you thought he was pouring that. And the only way he was pouring that, $20. $20 right now. But all the time, this is, I had a band teacher when I was growing up. And, man, he used to pop the whoop at us. But it made us better, and then it made us good. You know, we had one of the best bands in the city of Dallas.
Right, James was tough, though. I mean, he was fine.
Look at it, anything. You know, everything you want to work for, you got to work hard at it.
Now, let's keep this in mind. Now, my brother James made a lot of careers. Boosie Collins, Fred Wesley, Maceo, a lot of people. He lost a lot of careers in the music business, and he had a lot of people. He said an influence on a lot of people. Michael Jackson idolized my brother James.
Mm-hmm.
His idol. And MC Hammer, influence. You know, and he was influenced. And also, what's that group in New York? Full Force was in
Full Force.
Like I said before,
he was kind of like he was one of the most sampled. A lot of these rap songs, when I first started listening, they sampled a lot of James Brown rhythms, a lot of James Brown, riffs. In the wrong form, you look at him, he's an innovator. He was like I take it like he said in the movie, Maceo was kind of denying, but Bobby Bird said the man's a genius.
Right, he was a genius.
I had to look back there, so I've been studying it. They said he played the guitar, he played the bass, he played the organ, played the drums.
He was multi-talented.
Multi-talented.
And,
he was a dresser. he was a dresser. You talk about your brother, man, his hairstyles and stuff like that, I remember when they had this song that came out called Say It Loud, I'm Black and I'm Proud. Look and I said, he got an afro now, man. Looking at this movie about the Temptations and everything, how they would sit in this chair and they would get these, they call them a conk. Back in the day, it's a process. And it take a whole lot of pain in order to do that because that stuff, when they put it in your hair, it burns. When you when you, like you say, you proud, and most black people back in the day, the main thing we were kind of ashamed of was our hair, And so we grow the afro. Everybody in America had afros and beards and bell pants.
That started the civil rights movement, the afro, the black power. I'm going to remind you, too. Now, my brother James has a lot of recordings that's unreleased, and one day I'll obtain them and I'll release them for the public. It's got a lot of unreleased masters out there. There's a few out there, without my understanding. He recorded, but he never released it. And maybe America, should get his final, his songs that he had. That's in the process, anyway. And there's a real movie called James Brown, the True Untold Story.
So you say the truth untold story, huh?
True Untold Story. That's what it is. Because a lot of stuff my brother's autobiography he wrote, which is half true, and half false. A lot of stuff he left a lot of things that were not true.
Mr. Jones, I want you to give your email address.
Okay.
And I want you to be able to post this information that you want to show America on your site and all the people in the listening blog today, where everybody listens to the sound of my voice, I want them to search Brother John's website and let him inform you what he wants to tell you. Because, number one, he has a lot of things to say today that basically we cannot, you know, go into detail to say, you know.
Right.
But I want, you know, you want to, we want him to be informed, and I want, basically, we want you to be happier and satisfied with what's going on. Because as we were talking to, we were talking about all this week about anger. Anger seems to be a lot of part of everybody's situation, because things that happen in our lives, it seems to affect people when they get older. Because, you know, I'm a man of God, and Brother Lewis, you still there? Brother Lewis. I think he's going to, you know, try doing something right now. But as far as anger, you know, you have to be able to control your emotions and your thought process, because what you do today seems to, you know, tomorrow, yesterday seems to affect you today. And how you treat people in the past are some of the same people you have to ask for your forgiveness, you know, even when you leave this world. That's one of the things Jesus told us to do. You ask your brother to forgive him. Forgive me. You know? You said he was, kind of, we call it raw. You know, he's kind of raw about a lot of things. You know what I'm saying? You know, I go to work sometime, man, I be kind of upset for what I done have to me. They go off and take out things on other people. A lot of situations happening on the world out there. You see today. Some people are just angry and mad at what thing you got today. You got people today that are angry at the situation what's going on in politics.
Let me stop you real quick. See, my brother James, you know, a lot of people didn't understand that he was always angry all the time. They didn't know why. He was always angry, and people could always say, well, Mr. Brown, what's wrong with you? He never explained it. And the reason why he was angry, because he had brothers and sisters that he wanted to reach out and touch, but didn't know how to do it. And plus, he was too angry with his mother, you know, about the situation with his mother, abandoned him, and he hadn't seen her in 20 years. Now, she learned the truth.
Man.
She learned the truth when he started doing Apollo, and she came to see him. You know, there's more to the story, but I'll just brief it. And she sat down and told the truth, why she left him. Because he asked her, Mama, why'd you leave me to see 20 years? And she explained to him, and she told him that, you know, he has other brothers and sisters. The other part, I won't get into it because that's part of the movie. I wouldn't want to disclose that. So, but that's why I was telling you. Now, I have a Facebook page, and it's public, and it's seen all through America and in 25 different countries.
Mm-hmm.
My Facebook is actually famous down in Africa, because Africa loved James. You know why? Because he went over there. And he performed for Muhammad Ali when they did Rumble in the Jungle in Zaire. You remember that?
Yeah. I remember this. I think he went over there with Ali
That was the fight. So James was he entertained them before the fight. So he entertained them. I have that on video where he went over there entertained, and that's when he fought. So Africa really loves him, and it really there's a lot of people that knew my brother from Japan. They love James in Japan. And I have another friend of mine on Facebook. He's a Brazilian radio host, and he says Brazil loved James. He used to go and perform over there, so he's loved around the world. Really loved him. But I'm going to say this real quick, because I know America. CNN had put something out about my brother James being murdered. Oh, I want to get this out here. I'm going to stress this. If my brother James was murdered, sooner or later, when I go to federal court for his federal justice, I would ask for his body to get exhumed to find out, is it true, was he murdered? because CNN had put a story out that people are coming forward and saying my brother James was murdered. So I can't say that. I have to go through the system by getting another autopsy done to find out the truth. And if he was murdered, then the hospital that he was murdered in Georgia, they have to ask a lot of questions because they were charged in his custody. So I'm gonna leave it like that. But far as anything like that, you know, my brother James was a legend, a memory, and he will never be forgotten. Never be forgotten. This is why he's the one that started the funk music. It was him. Everybody followed through. Everybody came through on that. So I won't stress that. So so there's a lot of things that you know, in the future that's going to happen for James. His college education for underprivileged children will be restored. And I will make sure that children go to college. On that one, I will make sure, because his legacy is his life, and it must be saved. And this is why I depend on Donald Trump now to do this, and his new federal justice administration, to go back and give my brother James his federal justice. Go back and make sure that these people are prosecuted for what they've done to my brother James, and be sure that they face federal charges and civil rights charges. The civil part is my issue. So I'm just glad that America gets a chance to really find out the real truth about my brother James, and I'm just sorry for my brother's children for what they've done to him. You know, they should never did that to their father. Now, I'm going to stress this again. I'm going to say this. Three of them children are not really my brother James' children. Daryl, Yama, and Larry Brown are not my brother James' children. He just raised them up as his own and called them his own. And my brother James had a vasectomy back in 1980-81 that he cannot have any children. And plus he had prostate cancer. So Tommy Ray's, her son, is not my brother James' son. As a matter of fact, my brother James had left her out his will and him, the boy, out his will. He left them both out. So what happened was, in order for them to change my brother James' will, my brother James, his children, and the ones not his, had to accept Tommy Ray Jaime as a legal wife in order to, and they did that for the money. But the thing about it is, it backfired. They didn't get no money out of the deal. Now, after they stole over $30 million from my brother James, they never got a dime out of it, and South Carolina justice system was laughing at them now.
That's great information. And I wanted to just change the story out a little bit, because it's good to know these things. But I tell you what, once you post some of that on your website, Brother Dan, you're doing a great
job.
I tell you what, then, what we like to do now, the phone line is opening up here. A lot of people are texting us. Some people wants to know one of the fondest memories that you had of your brother that you can recall, whether you were with him or not. Some things that kind of made you smile because James Brown was an icon, a living legend. And some of the things that's just a family trait.
Right.
Do you have any fun memories of him that shows a family trait or something that say,
The dancing part on the stage, you know, that was in my family. Everybody knew how to do that. You know, the dancing part. And, you know, I used to be able to do it too. I can't do it now, but I used to be able to do what he did. Because it runs in our family. Show business, it runs in my family. So, and the fondest memories that I got of my brother James is when he was doing the Apollo Theater, and he was a star attraction, you know. The Apollo Theater. I mean, don't get me wrong. Everybody went to the Apollo Theater. Wilson Pickett, everybody back then. But James was a star of the Apollo Theater in the famous flames.
I was thinking about that because, you know, as you were saying that everybody in your family could dance, and sometimes as you've been a family member that's, you know, you that's known in your family, you kind of like, okay, and everybody else is fascinated by how you dance, but that's something that you all done able to do. And you say, we don't feel a big day out of it, but it's good to get that recognition. So let's read it out. One of our listening audience, they kind of text that in there. And you too could join the conversation by calling number 310-982-4126, or you could text us at Facebook /Free on the Inside Lewis, and we'll relay that information out of Mr. Jones. And also, Mr. Jones, what is one of your favorite James Brown records?
What are his records? Papa Don't Take No
Favorite Records.
Papa Don't Take No Mess.
that speaks volumes, doesn't it? Now, what's the genesis behind that? Now, when you hear Papa Don't Take No Mess, now, what does that make you think regarding your relationship with James Brown's legacy?
When he says Papa Don't Take No Mess, that means that he said Papa might have drank, but he didn't do the hard cussing. He didn't do the, but he, James said, but he whipped the hell out of us. So I like the song Papa Don't Take No Mess, and my second song, My Brother James, which we all know is Say It Loud, I'm Black and I'm Proud. That was a civil rights movement theme song. Say It Loud, Black and I'm Proud. And then also On the Foot.
Yeah.
Mr. Jones, you said something while ago regarding the civil rights movement, and we know that through the writings and the archive section, it said that when Martin Luther King was assassinated, James Brown was on the verge of giving a concert. Then they said they wanted to cancel that concert, but he went on and done it anyway. Could you give us some insight on some of that?
Here's the deal on that concert. The reason why James wanted to cancel, because the mayor at the time wanted to televise it live, and James said that was a part of his deal. So James said, no, I'm not going on, because they didn't tell me it was going to be a live concert. So then James was going to do it. So finally, James and the mayor back then and there, they worked it out, is where they had to compensate James for doing it live. Now, he agreed to do the show, but he didn't say nothing about live TV, and this is what he had a problem with. So it took about 30 or 45 minutes for him for the mayor had came down there, and they met in the dressing room, and they hashed it out, and then James did a live performance on television in Boston. That I know for a fact. But it was a good thing what he done, and I have there's pictures that once he did this concert, Richard Nixon had summoned him to the White House to congratulate him, thank him for what he done, for America. He kept America calm. Because James had a big influence on Black America, you know. As a matter of fact, it was said that one time that James was, by him being a civil rights activist and his music, he had a lot of power, and a lot of blacks in America, they respected him. So this was why there were no riots across America, because James had entertained blacks to stay home. He urged them, and they stayed home, you know. So this is what he done for America, you know. So now it's time for America to do for him by standing up and shouting out federal justice.
I would say he gave blacks something to be proud of, and an influence with everybody else around him. Was basically you could say it was selling out. You know, everybody really didn't nobody have. You know, we didn't have any idols.
Nobody had any to
pattern yourself after. You know. You had some of these white groups, and basically he was the first to be the black guy to really, he was one of the first black guys I really seen come on an all white movement, man. You know, I was looking at the other day, we had this thing called a ski party, you know?
Oh.
You know, okay. God. You know, and then he had this thing about, man, you know, you had to call him Mr. Brown, everybody. What's up, Mr. Brown? What's up, Mr. Brown? Yeah, but you seem to respect. You're going to respect me, you know, because my name, you know, and, you know, and, it's a lot of things going on today, man. You know, I was looking at how some of, you know, our youth today, basically, when you walk up to them, they want to call, what's up, old school? What's up? I said, why you can't call me Mister? You know, I'm Mister Daniel. You know, I'm Mister Jones. We want respect.
Right.
You got to have respect.
Right.
You know,
right.
Respect your elders.
Right. So anybody
and
that's
basically what's ending nowadays in our society. You know, people they just don't, and they don't respect the past. In order for you to have a future, you got to have a past.
Right, right. So,
yeah.
So everybody that was around my brother James the Serpent, they always call him Mr. Brown. Everybody called him
Mr. Brown.
Even as bad as Charles Bobbitt, been a few years, you know. Charles Bobbitt to me was like a family member. I'm sorry that he passed a year ago, but he told me many things about my brother James. Many, many things that nobody would know. I mean, I wouldn't tell. I mean, what the stuff I can say now, it's not enough time to say that. But I learned a lot of things about my brother James that America didn't know. But there's one thing about my brother James, though. He always wanted to. He always wanted to launch people's careers. He always wanted to give an unknown artist a chance. So this is why he made the career of Lynn Collins.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you remember Lynn Collins, Mama Feel Good.
Lynn Collins, Mama Feel Good.
Right.
Marvel Whitney.
He made a career out of her, and he also created the JBs. The JBs had a lot of solo songs.
Yeah.
With Fred and the JBs, so he had a lot of.
I kept hearing that little Butcher sound on, you know, and then I kept hearing that little thumping bass. And
right.
It was a long time before I looked at George Clinton. You know, me and Brother Lewis, we grew up listening to George Clinton. James Brown and George Clinton. Then I know when James kind of got incarcerated, all of them migrated to Brother Clinton because basically he was kind of like an innovator himself. But then they didn't have anybody to work for. You know what I'm saying? You know, the inventor was in, you know, couldn't be around him. So they got with him, and he did a lot of James stuff. I'm not saying anything, but he kind of took it up. He took up the torch and kept up with it. And, Maceo and the rest of them and Fred's and all of them, man, they both, they got with him. They made a little money, you know. Pee Wee Ellis and all of them, you know. And music is just like that, man. You know, I grew up listening to some of these jazz licks and, you know, and I could hear them. And it was just something in the music that I could tell. I said, man, it's something, or somebody somewhere knows something about jazz he was involved in because. And basically, I'm telling you how I really got in touch with you as well. I had this book that was called Searching for Mr. James Brown. But James Brown was saying to authorize itself. You know, they go writing a book, but they don't ask for authorization from the main source. So was using a lot of these jazz chords from some of these jazz songs, and basically you could feel them and hear them, but, you know, like he had a meeting, he'd say, if it feel good, play it. And basically, a lot of people don't have, you know, the thing about jazz, what I'm trying to say, jazz basically wasn't accepted by black people because it was kind of strange, and then you have to practice a lot in order to achieve. You know, a lot of these guys and he was one of the first ones I know use these Coltrane licks. You know about Coltrane, don't you?
Right. Yes, I do.
Coltrane had a thing when he was trying to play a lot of notes at the same time. They call it the sheets of sound. And what he did, he was doing, and this guy was playing this, and when I was about in the 11th grade, I heard that tune, and he said, man, my band director said, man, that's Coltrane he playing. I said, what? Who's that? Did Johnny Brown been listening to Coltrane?
Man,
about 6 months ago, I was listening around, I heard him call Coltrane's name in that song, wasn't listening. You know, I wasn't listening in the day, but now I listen, I see it, but he was an innovator.
Right,
he was ahead of his time. He was really ahead of his time. He was really ahead of his time.
He also
so
wrote.
As we, if we go on now, we were saying that, you know, I was looking at a lot of these movies he was involved in. You know, he was in a lot of movies, Brother Jones.
Right. He was a lot of movies. He did a lot of movies, and he also wrote a soundtrack to Fred Williamson's movie, Black Caesar.
Yeah, Black Caesar.
That Black Caesar movie back in the 70s? Black Caesar.
Yeah.
He wrote the soundtrack. On that
soundtrack.
He did that within a day. He did that in one day. Mr. Bobby told me your brother, Mr. Jones, had went in the studio one day, and when it's approached to him to do the soundtrack, he kept everybody in the studio until it was done. They did it in one day, a whole soundtrack. And but the real hit on there was On the Good Foot.
On the Good Foot
was on that soundtrack, and another hit on there is called Pay the Cost to Be the Boss, Black Caesar.
Pay the Cost, yeah.
That was the thing, and a couple of more songs, and some of those songs went on it made Billboard top 10.
Mm-hmm.
So he did a lot of things in movies, the Blues Brothers, we all know the Blues Brothers he did, and Living in America with Rock and Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah, that too.
Living in America. So he's been in movies, and he was really trying to break into that acting thing, but they were trying to break him in slowly, you know?
Yeah.
When he did movies, they'll give him maybe a couple of lines and that's it, but mainly, if he's in a movie, he's actually performing, you know? So, he was slowly wanting to break into the movie business, but he just got little small roles, like maybe three, four, five words, and the rest is all singing and dancing.
Mm-hmm.
So, but anyway, so he was an innovator and motivator, and, you know, and he left a hell of a legacy behind, and he influenced many people around the world. Don't you know in Japan and those clubs, you got Japanese people, they actually imitating James.
They imitate him.
Yeah, they sing the songs. Yeah, in Japan. They got people on the stage. they do it in Japan.
That was another thing, Mr. Jones. I was looking at this movie. I think Jackie Chan was in it. Yeah, you know. Jackie Chan, you seen that one?
No, I don't remember seeing that. Jackie Chan, I don't think
I did. It was called the suit or something. The suit, you know. And they went in there.
You mean the tuxedo?
The tuxedo, yeah.
I see. Okay. I'm trying to
say
that.
They went in there to talk to Jackie.
The suit,
they called it the suit.
Right.
The tuxedo, yeah.
The tuxedo, yeah.
And he went and talked to James, and he was in the dressing room. In some kind of way, he got to look at him, and he put one of them karate chops on him and knocked him out. He said, "Oh, you killed James Brown."
I'm talking about the movie.
He started singing with him. You know, so basically, you look at it, man, it was, you know, like you said, the world appeal to him. He was all over the world. Everybody accepted him and loved him.
You know, see, after everything was said and done, every year, I want to see that we do a tribute to James Brown, have different old school bands come out to pay tribute to him. You know, that'll be a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So a tribute to James Brown, I won't do it on Christmas, but we'll do it on his birthday, May 3rd. Every year, mm-hmm. have a tribute. A lot of old bands come out. They all get together, you know, and pay tribute to him. You know, James. Always, you know, to keep them alive and pay tribute to them. That I love that to happen, and wish I want to make it happen down the road, and maybe we can get VH1 to pick it up, you know.
Okay, now when you're talking about the education of the kids, now what is the name of what was your name, or what is the name of this academic association that you want to form or already have?
Right, it's called the James Brown College Education Trust Fund Money for Underprivileged Children.
Mm-hmm. So what you said, you want to try to help needy kids?
Not only helping needy kids, I'm gonna carry out his last wishes. See, those were his last rights for education, and there was a failure on my brother James, and I'm gonna make sure that his legacy. The motive, the object of the thing is to keep his legacy alive, to ensure that what he wanted, and this is what I'm all about. It's about fighting for his legacy, fighting for his justice, what was done to him, which is, I'm going to win this one. I'm right around the corner from it, put it that way. But this is what he wanted, college education for underprivileged children. It's not just for black children, for underprivileged children. You can be Spanish, it can be any nationality, but underprivileged means that you come from a poor family and the family can't afford to send your child to college. This is what James wanted to do. He wanted to give back. Because remember, my brother James didn't have an education.
Yeah. He was you said, he was a self-made man. He used to shine shoes.
Self-made man.
Man, pick yourself up by, you used to call it pick yourself by your bootstraps.
Right. Well,
you
know,
my dad used to say that. He just forced himself in order. He did all sorts of jobs. He could do, he was a boxer. Athlete, too. So, I look at it like if you put in a situation that you can help people, do it. And so I'm very proud of you, Mr. Jones, and all of you for your dreams and aspirations that you want to do. So, we kind of wind it down a little bit for, talking. And basically, we want to try to get all the information in. And we like for all the listening audience who have a vehicle that they could come back to you and ask for further information. Or either if you want somebody to try to, somebody that you want to help or they want you to help, they can get in touch with you. So if you got any information you want, any email addresses or anything you want to say right now, you can say it.
Right, okay. I am taking, always keep names for James' college education. And if you have meet the criteria for James' college education, you can email me at kevinjones692004@hotmail.com. It's kevinjones692004@hotmail.com. I'm taking names for his college education to show proof of cause to the government that we have children out here that want to go to school and get education for college education. But this is why my brother James cannot continue on being deprived by South Carolina's justice system. So that's my email address, and I can say there's a whole lot of work to be done for my brother James. James would say, I'm getting ready to take it to the bridge.
Yeah. Take it to the bridge.
I'm going to take it to the bridge, And when I take it to the bridge, I'm going to keep on a good foot. Definitely going to be on this one. That's like I say, black, because you know why? Because we are living in America.
Oh, no. Thank you, Mr. Jones. What a great interview that we have with Mr. Jones, Kevin Jones, James Brown, brother Richard Daniel. Thank you. You gentlemen done a great job. I was truly fascinated and informed about the legacy of our American icon, Mr. James Brown. I was thinking about the songs that he had written some time ago. Keep it on the good foot, it's a man's world, but he said, hey, we ain't nothing without a girl. We all have to work together to take care of it. Mr. John, we pray things go well with you and what you are doing to restore the legacy of James Brown in North Carolina and for the education fund that James Brown has started. It's good to have to keep that vision going, and it's a benefit all men, woman, girl, regardless of their race and nationality. James Brown was about bringing people together. As you were saying in Japan, I was thinking about karaoke. They say even over there in Japan, people, they're not very they don't know the English language very fluently, but yet they try to sing some James Brown songs. That, oh, that man, he made a difference, didn't he? He made a difference in the lives of the world and the people. Mr. Jones, before we get you out of here, we would just like to just say give you all the kudos that you deserve regarding what you're doing, and we pray that you continue to stay on this path that God has set for you concerning your brother and his legacy. And thank you very much for sharing your time with me and my listening audience. You know, Saturday mornings when this show is broadcast, it's very special. That's the time that you can just kick back and relax on the week events, but yet you're willing to spend your time with us. And we thank you, we thank you.
Yeah, anytime, man. Anytime, it was a pleasure doing this, and I'm glad that America gets a chance to hear the other side.
Yes, and that's
so we can have a follow up with you pretty soon, Mr. Jones. You know,
right.
Hopefully everything works out with you.
Everything's going to work out, you know. It took them to this way. I've been in the battle for James for a pretty good while now, but the fight is just about over with. And I had to say, I'm standing almost in the winner's circle. You know, I just gotta, like you say, I gotta take it to the bridge. You know, that's what I'm gonna do.
There you go.
So like I say, I'm glad, you know, that you had me come on the show, and I hope everybody listening out there in America that remember, just keep praying and shout out Federal Justice for James.
There you go. That's the closing word. Well, thank you very much. We're looking forward to speaking with you at a later date. Remember, you can go by and listen to this show in its entirety on Blog Talk Radio / Free on the Inside Ministry. God bless you. We'll be talking to you soon.
All right, man. Take care.
All right, thank you, Mr. Jones.
Great interview that we had with Mr. Jones, as James Brown brother was giving us some information about the late great James Brown and his impact and his desire to set the record straight concerning James Brown. You know, our host and interviewer was Brother Richard Daniel, and so he hosted that interview. So he did a great job on that. And the lines are still open, 310-982-4126. And Brother Daniel, what a great job you done, man. Thank you, man. I really enjoyed the interview. I enjoyed the information that was shared with our listening audience. And just thank James Brown, brother. Amen. He had a lot of information. We're going to bring him back from time to time just to give us an update on what's going on with what he's attempting to do.
You know, I put a lot of work in what I do, Lewis, you know, and this was kind of like a good project for me because, like I said, James Brown was a big influence on my playing music, you know. And back in the days, we didn't have a lot of horn instruments, you know what I'm saying, horn parts. And James Brown had a horn section, you know. On the horn section we had back in the day, something like that group called Chicago and the Ohio Players and all that. But James Brown, you know, was funky. You know, it was funky, man. It was funky. You know, when we were growing up, we used to listen to him, you know.
I think you tried to cut us up a little bit too,
didn't you?
James Brown always had a message in his music. It was enjoyable, but it also was informative, man. And that's the beauty of it, you know. It wasn't a lot of noise. He had a message to it. And in his lyrics, man, it was telling a little story about life and how to deal with things, how to not be defeated by life. You know, I think so much when he was talking about junkie. You know, we realized that hey, drug addiction wasn't for us. You know, because he had us.
We didn't say nothing about that, did he? He had a song called King Heroin.
Yeah. So those are the type of songs that we have to kind of. You know, right now the music industry then went ballistic, where they just saying a lot of words with no meaning and no basis, and they try to define how life is, but life isn't like that. Life isn't degrading women. It was about degrading yourself. It was about taking matters into your own hand. It's more to life than that, and that's something that we have to get back. That's why some of the artists
like James Brown and other artists, patriarchs in the music industry. They have to be brought back to our remembrance from time to time. You know, even the great B.B. King, he had a message in his music, you know. And so, you know, all
the I'm going to tell you, Reverend Lewis, James Brown started with the church. He started with God. All this stuff was about God,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
You know?
Uh-huh. Yeah, they did. A lot of them did.
About God. He based his life on God, spiritual matters.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of them grew up there in the church, Ricky. And that's how we're basic. You know what? Eventually we get back to it. We get out and do, you know, the scripture said, raise a child up the way that he should go and he should not depart. And sometimes we go out and we do our thing and we come back, you know. That's that prodigal son mentality. I want to go see what it's like on the other side of the world or the other, across the street or around the corner. We go out and we find out it isn't all that we thought it should be or cracked up to be. So we want to come home. And not only come home.
No, you're going to come back home.
Yeah,
you're going to come back home.
Brother Shane, but we're getting ready to get out of here, man. Oh, man, this has been a great interview. It's been a fast interview. You know, this time to go by. But next week, brother, next week, we have our event coming up, man. Our conference.
Mm.
It's this year. Our conference, we have in Women's that's coming along in our conference this year. My wife's Sister LaShondra Lewis, Lady Lewis, she's going to have
part. Yeah, we're having a conference, huh?
We're going to have part. Yeah, we're having our conference, and you are our official photographer, and we invite you and your wife.
I'm a photographer, too, huh?
Bring as many of your friends and family members as you can along. Yeah,
What time now? State your time, Brother Lewis. State your time for everybody to know.
It's going to be at 9 o'clock at First Free Will Baptist Church. That's at 1415 West Wheatland Road, Dallas, Texas. Zip code is 752117.
Man, who all coming to
zip code?
Well, now, what's the format we got in this year? I know when we first started doing this, we had guest speakers. But now we have, like, little workshops, right?
Yeah, we have two little... We call it a mini seminar. Last year we had four seminars. One was dealing with health issues. One was dealing with financial aid. One was dealing with investment, and one was dealing with marriage. But this year we're having two seminars and two speakers. The seminars are going to be the women are going to have a workshop dealing with domestic violence, relationship, and self worth, and the men are going to have a workshop dealing with domestic violence. That's something that men don't hardly talk about. The women talk about it, and the women experience it firsthand. But guess what? In order for domestic violence, the men have to be involved in it too. How do we navigate through something? How do we de-escalate that situation as a man? When a woman makes me mad and I'm bigger than her and I'm stronger than her, and I could just crush things around me, how do I not continue to crush things? How do I work through those conflicts? Do that make me less of a man if I just walk out the house, I just listen to her vent, when I could just hit her and she'd be quiet? But yet, how can I de-escalate a domestic violence situation that I'm in? And that's something we need to talk about, Brother Banks.
Yeah.
Because let's
make it. Yeah, it's going on a lot, man, in our society today. I'm looking at these I'm looking at some of these football players nowadays, man. I see a lot of them, man. They're doing a lot of things, and they basically the football teams won't have nothing to do with it because he got a lot of groups that support some of these events and stuff, and they mostly want to try to protest, you know, and these owners and these they don't want any part of that stuff, and, you know, attached to that. So what they do, they get these players, and they doing wrong like that, they throw them off the team. These guys are multimillionaires almost, but.
Yeah.
One mistake
cuts them off from their anger issue.
Yeah.
And that's something we're going to deal with this year's setting. And I think it'd be appropriate with all the things going on because we always hear about the women getting the abuse side. But what about the men? What can we do on our side to kind of de-escalate that? You know, because it can happen to anybody. It can happen to your family. It can happen to my family and all our family. It doesn't. You get two people together, you could have a problem. and it could be a, it could turn out to be a violent. It could turn to be, you know, volatile. So you have to know how to de-escalate that, and women need to know how to do it, and men need to know how to do it. And so I thank God for having that vision this year for the women to try to do it and for our. Now we have Brother Prater. He's no stranger to our format. He did a series last 2 years ago called A Few Good Men, and then this year he's gonna do one on domestic violence for concerning the men. And then we're gonna have a couple of testimonies from a male and a female called My Story, because the name of our program is called Saved by Grace, and I've seen First Peter 2:16 said, let us live as people that are free in Christ Jesus, not using our freedom as an opportunity to do evil, but as a servant of Christ. And use that freedom. That's kind of could do better. Don't mean that I should take advantage of it, Brother Daniel. I don't smoke and drink anymore, but I'm not going to take advantage of other people that don't smoke and drink, because I got a better education. I'm not going to take advantage of a person that doesn't that have very limited education. I'm not going to use that freedom that Christ gave me as take advantage of my brother and my sister. And that's something that we need to go over from time to time. Because let's face it, when we've been saved and sanctified, sometimes people around us want to beat us up. Well, you smoking now. Well, you're going to go to hell. Well, I was smoking before you got saved. Pray for me. Help me work through this. You know, you should watch these programs. You know, that's a devil. Well, baby, I understand that, but help me work through these things. You know what I'm saying? Not using our salvation as an opportunity to beat somebody up. You know, Brother Daniel, I
them up.
Jail and prison.
You know, I think that's one of the main things in scriptures was getting basically everybody mostly uptight about. You know, I was talking to some people last week where they were saying they were atheists, and they didn't believe in that there was a God existed, because why would God allow so much wrong to happen in the world? Why do some people try to set the norm for doing things, and they turn around and do the same things, and then you got some people that want to judge people and turn them down, you know? And whether you know it or not, people are looking at you and judging you by your actions, you know?
Yeah.
And then interaction.
How you deal with people, how you deal with your surroundings. Yeah, they do. And so that's what I was similar. Man, we come together, we similar for information, education, and information. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to hear the information, I'm going to receive it, then I'm going to go out and apply it. And then next year, I'm going to come back and build back up again. And you've been with us from almost the duration of the ministry, from these events. And so, is it valuable? Is it worth your time, Brother Daniel? Because you've been with us, and you know, you've got a lot of stuff going on, man. You got family, you got job, you got a career. You know, is it worth coming out on Saturday morning for a couple of hours to sit in on something like this? Are you being benefited?
Well, I just like to give, Rem Lewis. I've been a giver ever since I've been, you know, a teenager. I always gave to something and tried to adopt to other people and helping folks, because I knew when I was young, somebody helped me. You know, some person or my older person talked to me and tried to tell me, young blood, you need to do this, you need to do that. When I had a skill and I was learning how to play music, I had older people that wanted to try to, they could see greatness in me. I put it like that. You know, and I had a couple of teachers used to tell me, man, it's just something about you, Mr. Daniel, you know. It's just, and I never thought about it at the time. You say, what's she talking about? You know, and people can, you know, God, they call it discernment. You got to have discernment. Sometimes God gives people discernment to see things that you can't feel at this time, you know. They know it. You know, they know it, because he speaks to them and says, well, that guy's going to be somebody one day. Somebody saw greatness in you, Reverend Lewis. Even though in some of your faults, you know, a long time ago, you couldn't really say, man, well, what direction I'm going in, you know, but God had a purpose for you. He got a purpose for me.
Hey, man. Amen. Yeah. Hey, Brother Dan, we got to get on out of here, Brother Dan. We got to get on out of here, man. Again, we had a great interview there with Mr. Kevin Jones, the late, great Dynamite, Mr. James Brown. brother. He gave us some insight on James Brown, some the legacy that he wanted to continue with, that James Brown started. We ask you to reach out to him, find out more information on our on the inside page. And so we ask you to follow up on that. Ask you to go back and listen to this interview again and glean for him. Of it. We want to thank you, Brother Daniel, for doing what you do, and keep up the good work, okay? And enjoy
all right,
the time.
I will be.
Thank you very much. We're going to make it funky in Jesus' name. Question, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. Dear Lord, we thank you for what we experienced today. We thank you for allowing James Brown Brothers to come on to be a part of the show, dear Lord. We thank you, dear Lord, for his insight on the great legend of James Brown, how he continued to want to set things right in that family, dear Lord, in that community, dear Lord, and how the Education Foundation is still being established at James Brown Dunn, dear Lord, and he wants to revamp it and make it even better for all men, women, boys, and girls. Dear Lord, I ask you to open up some doors for him, dear Lord, give him what he needs as a resource and bring him around, bring people in his midst, dear Lord, that have a heart and a compassion to follow the dream that has been set forth, dear Lord. Precious Lord, we thank you for what we experienced today. Thank you for Brother Daniel, dear Lord, how he so worked so diligently in the ministry, dear Lord, to make things right unto God. Precious Lord, as we get ready to part, we ask you to thank you for this here opportunity to share with the dying world the love of Christ Jesus, dear Lord, and everything that we do it unto Lord.
Yes,
Precious Lord, as we go out, dear Lord, next week we have our conference coming up. We pray, dear Lord, that you continue to pour into that. Unto that ministry, you anoint the facilitator and the speaker, and so allow them, dear Lord, to be a blessing to the men and women that they're doing, dear Lord. We pray for the caterer, dear Lord. We pray for the facilitators in the name of Jesus. Precious Lord, we ask you to keep everyone in perfect peace until we meet again. In the name of Jesus, amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might, Brother Richard Daniel. And Minister Joy Lewis, we'll talk to you at the appropriate
time. And
be
free
we'll be
on the inside.
God bless you. Enjoy the balance of your day.